made to us. Also, on behalf of the congregation, I want to say thank you and congratulations to Bobby and David and the rest of PNC and hearing God's voice to identify the next shepherd. So we are thrilled for that. About 2-3 months ago, a good friend of mine who lives close to Louisville came up to me and said, I need a skipper. He said, you need a skipper? He said, yeah, I need a skipper. I said, is this like a Gilligan's Islands reference? What is this? He goes, no. He goes, my family and I are renting a boat in the British Virgin Islands, and you grew up sailing. I need a skipper. It's a little bit more. If I get a boat that fits both our families, you get yourself down there, you're going to be my skipper. I said, twist my arm. And so over spring break, Megan, the girls, and I joined another family and had the really distinct privilege of being able to sail in the British Virgin Islands, and I'm happy to report that the boat made it back to the dock safely. But as we were there, one of the little boys that was part of the other family, named JD, he had one of those just slurpy, nasty, miserable colds, coughing and just wheezing everywhere, and we're in a fairly enclosed space and tight quarters on a boat, despite how far away you wanted to get. And the thing that kept running through my mind the entire trip is this contagious? Our text this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. It's actually the whole first chapter. It's 1 Thessalonians, beginning chapter 1, verse 1. And as we read this, listen closely, we're reading God's word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but what you and I just read never will. Please join me as we pray, and then we'll look deeper at this passage. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Paul's writing this letter to this small church that he had previously planted in Thessalonica. This church finds itself in modern-day Greece. It was along the Ignatian Way, a highway of commerce. Thessalonica was a hub of commerce and culture. And these people were in a place where idol worship was rampant. And yet, despite that, Paul praises them for their faith. He talks in verse 3 about their work of faith, their labor of love, their steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on beyond that and says, not just have you become Christians, but he says to them that that faith that you have has become contagious. He says, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only here in this local area, but in every place your faith in God has become known. This small startup church had a degree of faith and a quality of following Christ that became contagious. They became contagious Christians, and that faith became known throughout the entire known region. This morning, I want to look simply at what it means to be contagious. And I assume we may have a doctor or two in here who may correct me at the door from some of my logic. But I want to note a couple of things about contagious people. First of all, contagious people got infected somehow. On that boat, all three of my children got sick from JD. I am sure of it. Two of them just finished a course of antibiotics, and thus they're not here this morning. Neither is my wife. She's taking care of them. How did the Thessalonians catch it? Well, Paul says that they became imitators of him and those he traveled with as they became followers of the Lord. Now, think about imitation. I was in Los Angeles earlier this week at my alma mater, Fuller Seminary, and there on a board that I serve on was a doctor friend of mine who I had his son in my youth group many, many years ago. And I will never forget Wes talking about his son David, who was an anesthesiologist, and he said, someday I'm going to be just like my dad. And recently there was a Facebook post that had Wes, now an orthopedic surgeon, performing surgery with David, his anesthetic father, together in the operating room. I'm not sure you can even do that legally, but they did take a picture of on Facebook. We'll not delve into that anymore. I'm also reminded of another father in the church that I serve. His name was Bob. He was a lawyer. He served on some pretty well-known cases, and his son Jeff said the same thing. Jeff in my youth group said, someday I'm going to be just like my dad. And now both Bob and Jeff are attorneys. This whole thing of imitation, it not only works with small children, but sometimes big children, we're suspect and susceptible to imitation as well. Madison Avenue in the marketing and advertising community knows that pretty well. I remember a pitch for a jeweler many years ago said, gold band says we're married, but a diamond says forever. Wow. As if gold band isn't good enough. But this theme of imitation is one that's consistent with Paul. At least five different times in the New Testament in his letters, he talks about this idea of imitating him and imitating his faith. Now the Thessalonians, they got it from Paul. In the second letter to the Thessalonians, he says in chapter 3, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we gave you an example to imitate. Think of that for a minute. How many of you could say to a friend or to a loved one, when it comes to your faith, look no further than me. Imitate me. I mean, that's a pretty audacious statement if you think about it. But obviously, Paul lived a life that others could imitate. Thus, he became imitatable. In chapter 2 of our text this morning, he describes more fully what that faith looked like. Evidently, he lived with a gentleness. That there was an uprightness and a blamelessness to his manner of living. He spoke not just to please others, but he spoke consistently to please God. And in the letter that he wrote to the Corinthian church in chapter 1, he lays it out very plainly. Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. The only reason that I have anything to imitate is because I seek to follow the head rabbi, Jesus the Messiah. The Thessalonians got it from Paul. How'd you get it? How did we get it? Contagious people get infected somehow, and the question we might ask ourselves is, do I have someone to imitate? Have I imitated someone? Of course, this has to do with mentorship. We all took vows to provide a degree of mentorship for baby George as he's growing up, to give him something to imitate. Hopefully all of us have somebody to imitate. They talk about mentors, near mentors, far mentors, and dead mentors, and let me explain that. Near mentors might be people in this congregation that George would have to follow as you pattern your life after Christ. George has someone to look towards and to see a reflection of Jesus in, and so might you. A far mentor may be someone that isn't in this congregation, but perhaps it's a friend in another city or a relative somewhere, someone that you can look to and say, that person gives me a tangible example of what it means to follow Christ. A dead mentor, as someone who perhaps has passed away, but has written books or left you an example, and you have memories, and you have all sorts of things you can look to say, I want to be like that person. Paul gave the Thessalonian church a pattern or an example to follow, and they caught it from Paul. Well, I noticed that contagious people not only caught it from someone, but contagious people infect others. Paul commends the Thessalonians for being great examples. In verse 7, he says, you became an example of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The word that he uses here has the impression of something that stamped itself into something hard, like a die cast into metal. And he's saying that's the example you left. And in the hardness of this society, you left a visible imprint by your faith. Peter uses the same words when he challenges elders with an admonition to all of us who find ourselves as elders. He says, be an example to the flock. Leave such a mark in the life of that flock that there's a visible imprint left behind. First Timothy, Paul says to this young leader, be such an example, leave such a mark in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your purity, that there's something lasting. In other words, young person, don't be so consumed with having your streak in Snapchat. Rather, set an example in speech, in love, in conduct, in faith, in purity. Well, when you think about being an example and infecting others, it's interesting to note a couple of things that the Thessalonians did give away and what they did not give away. One thing they did not give away is a quitter attitude or the sense of giving up. They could have. Paul says in verse 6, in spite of persecutions, and if we know church history, there was plenty of persecution to go around. I had a youth pastor friend who was serving in the San Clemente Presbyterian Church in Southern California, where I grew up. Not a bad role to have. Beach community, about 300 young people that just flocked to this church. Warm, sunny days. I mean, just a perfect place to do ministry, you would think. A few years later, I visited he and his 5 children and his wife in Sao Paulo, Brazil, living behind walls with barbed wire on the top, with crime rampant as they were serving as missionaries. And I was like, why? Why did you come down here? Well, my friend, Pastor Duncan, could have been negative, could have been burned out, could have been a nervous wreck about his kids, but no, he chose not to give up because he wanted to be an example of following Christ. And what he was giving away to the people in Brazil that he was ministering to was something very, very powerful that not many people would have said yes to. My sister worked in UCLA Medical Center in the unrelated bone marrow transplant unit in the leukemia ward in the oncology department. And when patients are getting ready for a bone marrow transplant, first they have to reduce your bone marrow down where you become, essentially you lose your immune system, and the new immune system is going to be the new bone marrow that's put in. And you're never more vulnerable when you're sitting there and waiting to get that bone marrow transplant. And so patients oftentimes have to be in isolation. The problem with too many Christians is when we talk about giving away our faith, we give away kind of a quitter attitude, or we give away sort of this isolation where no one would ever know because we don't want to infect anybody. That's not what the Thessalonians gave away. What did the Thessalonians give away? Well, we find it in verse 6. Joy. Joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. One of my dead mentors, a gentleman by the name of Brennan Manning. Brennan Manning has written a number of books. He was a speaker back when I was a college student and then doing youth ministry early on in my ministry career. And Brennan, I'll never forget this, he said, if your life has been transformed by the love of God the Father, if you live with the hope of heaven because Jesus Christ has so infused your life that you are a changed person, if the Holy Spirit has truly taken up residency in your life so that you live differently and you look at life differently, please inform your face. There are too many of us who walk around with kind of a sour, dire look on our face rather than joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's the example that we as followers of Christ have to give. We truly understand what has been given unto us and what Christ has done for us. And that, I believe, is one of the things that was so infectious about the Thessalonians' faith. They had an optimism, a positive, hopeful presence, and even evidently had a sense of peace even amidst persecutions. Contagious people infect others. And the question we might ask is, how am I infecting others? What kind of example does my life set? Well, not only do contagious people catch it from someone, and not only do they infect others, but contagious people often get found out. And that is certainly the case with the Thessalonians. Verse 7 says, who found out all the believers? But not just all the believers, as if they went to a presbytery meeting and everyone said, your church is doing so well. But in verse 9 it says, not just the presbytery, not just all the believers, but all the people in those regions. In other words, the entirety of Versailles and even into Lexington and Frankfurt found out about that faith. What got found out? Verse 8 says, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known. So we have no need to speak about it, because they already know it. Verse 9 says, for the people of these regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you. They were known for their hospitality. How you turned to God from idols. In other words, how you didn't listen to what was in vogue in society, and you said no to that. And how you served the living, the true God, the quality that was contagious. Contagious people get found out. I remember about 20 years ago, as I was finishing a beginning a doctoral program actually at Fuller Seminary, I had a classmate, and we'd go and have these little two-week intensive classes. And so you didn't get to know these people for long, but you had some pretty consistent interaction with them for about a 10-day period. And there was a young minister who was actually a denominational leader named Reggie. And Reggie and I became friends during that short 10-day period. And in the midst of that, I was running quite a bit. I'd say that was about 40 pounds ago. And I was running the Boston Marathon coming on up. And Reggie had a lot of questions about this marathon. He was very, very interested. Well, about 20 years later, I think since that marathon, I might have run two more. Reggie has run 36 marathons since that time. He had never run one until we met. And he has run the Boston 10 times. I would probably never run the Boston again. But that's the thing about allowing our faith to become contagious. We might just think we don't have much to offer. We might think we just shared a little snippet here and there, but sometimes the people that catch it even better than we did. And they become advocates, they become champions, they become world changers. And by God's grace, we have a small piece in that. How's your walk with Christ? Is it contagious? Do you think back about how you caught it? And can you think about what infection you're passing along? Do you know what's reported about your faith? My prayer for you, my prayer for Pisgah Press, is that as you take on new leadership, that this church would be known like the Thessalonian church, of having a faith that is filled with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, despite persecution, is moving forward, is known not just by the presbytery and setting an example for other believers, but is setting an example and making a difference in all of this area. And it would be known not to bring glory to this church, but to bring glory to Christ. May it be so. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it challenges us. Thank you for the way it speaks to us. Lord, may Pisgah Press become and remain and continue to be a contagious people that bless this entire region.